we have entered into the last hour.
Oh, wait.
God revealed the booklet, the angel unlocked Revelation.
And then you've got one that is, and Spiritual tsunami. Fulfill Isaiah 47. So as they go back, Masters! Right? to convert them so that they might be able to see. But wait a minute. He came over here and went to a synagogue in New York City. Well, that looks so righteous. Wow, it has ever been righteous. Let's look at the prophecy, see what he's going to do to them. Surely. Like a lamb. Speak like a dragon.
There's no universe, there aren't any men, it's just the Father and the Son. wondrous truth that we have. And of course, he waited 30 years to reveal his gospel, and that gave him all kinds of time to think about it. And then he, of all places, delved into the Godhead. The Godhead. I mean, there's so much depth there. And even the commentaries see there's so much depth there that it's not, it's not like it's just anything they've read. But they don't understand much of it. I think Christ really did love talking to John privately. Or it didn't ever have an impact on John. John kept him in it. We're going to have to keep all this in us. Notice John, verse 2. John 1, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing. Faith was made in him with life. For life was the light of men. For all about life.
Anything you look, anywhere to look, it's all about
How about that? You really are going to be God, but you're the first God.
I said verse 42. My father sent me. He just kept saying it over and over and over again. So you need to understand God. You really get, I think, the best of the other gods. John takes us back into eternity and forward into eternity. This book, especially when you get into Revelation. You can go ahead even in John 1 here and read. It talks about what you believe, brethren. In John 1, where he talks about all these amazing scriptures. It's amazing. It's just so inspiring prophecies and truths. He talks about verse 25, Elijah, that prophet. Well, there's always a man there. That's just routine style with God. But even when the government breaks down, here's where it breaks down. There's always, you see, there's always a man there. And look, if you get into a bad state of mind, well, you don't like that man part of it. Let's block that out and let's just kind of throw the elect lady the way we think she should look and forget about what God says over and over and over and over. I mean, it's throughout the Bible. We don't just try to keep repeating it. It's always there. When we talk about a subject, always a man. Always a man. But I want to read you this from John in conclusion. John 3, verse 29, we can turn there. But I want to read you what I wrote in the book. Listen to this, think about it, brethren. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. What's so astounding about that? Yeah, well, I wrote the other gospels talk about the bridegroom, but only the apostle John mentions the bride. We know how Jesus Christ suffered, so it shouldn't surprise us that the bride needs to suffer as well. But there's another crucifixion we must never forget. Verse 29, he that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands in the earth and rejoices greatly. Verse 29, we don't need that wonderful marriage in our minds. We won't be pausing and certain and striving. Patrick.